This is Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
Hey, partner. Is dangerous nuclear waste cluttering up your backyard? Well, come on down to West Texas, where you can park anything, maybe forever. Just stick that high-level waste on a train and get the government to pick up the tab. Since our big daddy billionaire bought the governor, we're open for radioactive business. There's acres to choose from with America's biggest nuclear parking lot. Old reactor parts, nuclear cores, or weapons waste ticking away at your place? No problem. Yes, get your atomic junk down to Andrews County, where Texas love anybody's nuclear waste.
We are Texas. We love your hot nuke waste.
Well, maybe you missed that parody ad from Waste Control Specialists, but four nuclear watchdog groups didn't. We've reached another nuclear waste specialist, Kevin Camps, from the nonprofit group Beyond Nuclear. Kevin, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thanks so much for having me.
What nuclear goodies are lined up for the lucky people of Texas?
Well, the crisis du jour is commercial irradiated nuclear fuel, which is high-level radioactive waste. It is sometimes called spent nuclear fuel, but that's a euphemism. And even worse, it's called used nuclear fuel. So this is dangerous stuff. It could deliver a fatal dose of gamma radiation at short distance with no radiation shielding in a matter of seconds, or minutes, perhaps, if it's decayed for some decades. But it's very dangerous outside of radiation shielding. And then in the long term, you've got the alpha emitters, things like plutonium, and that's going to remain hazardous literally for hundreds of thousands to a million years.
Where is Andrews County, Texas, and what does it look like around there?
Andrews County, Texas is extreme West Texas in the Texas Panhandle region. It's right on the border with New Mexico. It is an arid region, and there's a lot of mineral exploitation and fossil fuel exploitation that goes on out there. But significantly, in terms of the environment, right underneath Waste Control Specialists is the Oglala Aquifer. This is the southernmost reaches of the Oglala, and it's named Oglala after the Sioux tribe in the Dakotas because it stretches all that way up. So we're talking several states on the Great Plains that depend on the Oglala for drinking water and irrigation water, and that is going to be put at even worse risk by this proposal. But they're already dumping so-called low-level radioactive wastes, and you mentioned even nuclear weapons wastes have been moved to the WCS site. So the Oglala is very much at risk from all these schemes.
Who founded this company, Waste Control Specialists, or WCS?
Well, a certain Dallas billionaire named Simmons, whose other claim to infamy was that he was behind the swift voting of John Kerry 12 years ago today, when Kerry's Vietnam War record was called into question. His Purple Hearts were called into question. It turned out to all be bogus, but that was Simmons. And after he did that, and George W. Bush, retained the presidency, then Simmons went on to found this company called Waste Control Specialists, and it has really become a national dump site for radioactive wastes of various categories. You've got all categories of low-level waste. That's A, B, and C, A being the lowest, C being the hottest. And you've even got, as I mentioned, the nuclear weapons waste coming in from places like Los Alamos. And what's crazy about that is these are the barrels of plutonium-contaminated weapons waste that are at risk of bursting. There was a burst of one of these barrels deep in the underground at the Waste Isolation Pilot Plant in New Mexico on Valentine's Day of 2012, and that single barrel bursting 2,000 feet below the surface of the land will cost $2 billion, with a B, to recover from, if they can even recover from it. They may have to close that dump down completely, which would be an even bigger monetary loss. That's what they've got down there at Waste Control Specialists, except instead of being 2,000 feet beneath the surface, it is literally a couple inches beneath the surface. The only reason they put it 2 inches beneath the surface, essentially they covered it with dirt, is because they had put it inside concrete overpacks that were painted black. We're talking West Texas. So in the summers of 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, over 100 barrels of plutonium waste that could burst their barrels were out in the hot Texas sun in a black container. And Los Alamos National Lab, the culprit behind the bursting barrel controversy, had to intervene and beg and plead and get WCS to put these barrels at least under a couple inches of dirt to try to prevent the sun from igniting them.
Now, my understanding is that this was actually a Texas state facility that somehow ended up as a private company approved to accept nuclear materials from all over the country. Could you trace the process of how did that happen?
Well, there is this law, the Low-Level Radioactive Waste Law of the United States, which called for either states to handle their own radioactive waste problem in the low-level realm, so-called, because low-level is very dangerous still, but it's not as dangerous as high-level. It's just less concentrated. But if states wanted to, they could also form compacts of states. And Texas went that route. They formed a compact with the states of Maine and Vermont, if you can believe that, thousands of miles away. The three states got together and said, we're gonna establish one dump to serve all three states. And the way that works is the other states that aren't hosting the dump pay more money to use the dump. So Texas became the target, and it was very quickly privatized. That's when Simmons stepped in. But Texas still played the role in terms of state regulators having to approve this thing to open. And that's when the Oglala controversy struck. And three lifetime staffers at the Texas Environmental Agency, the state agency, resigned their jobs over the opening of this dump. And, their director, who was an appointee of a Republican governor, who was close friends with Simmons, as many Republicans are in Texas at the highest levels of politics, they resigned, but the director approved the thing over their heads. And away we go, dumping radioactive wastes above the Oglala Aquifer.
And one of the commissioners appointed by Governor Perry, who incidentally received lots of campaign contributions from Harold Simmons, actually then became a lobbyist for this company.
The revolving door in the nuclear industry is scandalous. And exactly. So, and it's not just a revolving door between, state politicians, their appointees at state regulatory agencies. This goes all the way to the top of the U.S. federal government. So the Nuclear Regulatory Commission of the U.S. federal government, which also had to give its blessing to this scandal. You know, one of the worst examples of all was when an NRC commissioner named Jeffrey Merrifield passed through the revolving door after doing the dirty work for the industry. He changed the definition of the word construction in NRC regulations, which, long story short, exempted most of nuclear power plants' construction from the National Environmental Policy Act. It only applied to the reactor and the safety systems. Other major parts of nuclear plants, like the turbine hall or the transmission line corridor, were exempted. Don't even have to undergo a National Environmental Policy Act review. Away you go, just break ground and, build the thing and build momentum and facts on the ground and try stopping that nuclear plant now. And he went to work for a company called the Shaw Group that builds nuclear power plants. So that was a particularly egregious example. But Waste Control Specialists is also scandalously an example of this.
The Texans say they're merely offering, and I shouldn't say the Texans because this isn't the people of Texas. This is a little group of business people at this point. They say they're merely offering a nuclear parking lot. How long might this waste remain there?
It could stay there forever because once this waste moves to somewhere like Andrews County, Texas, which is a single congressional district, it's a sparsely populated area. Try moving this stuff someday. Even, it would take all the pressure off finding a permanent solution like a deep geologic repository for this waste, which has been the plan for many decades. It would take all the pressure off doing that. And now the dynamic you've created is you've got the entire rest of the country just fine with the situation because it's in a single congressional district. So try moving it. You've got one member of Congress who maybe someday, except he's going to be getting campaign contributions from WCS, maybe someday he'll start asking or she'll start asking questions, why is the waste still here, 50, 100 years in the future? Isn't it supposed to move to a permanent dump? Well, it would be one member of Congress versus 434 others in the U.S. House and two senators versus 98 others in the U.S. Senate. And guess what? It's going to stay right where it's at probably forever, at the surface.
Which was never planned, and it's a lousy solution. So who are the four groups who are now speaking out opposing this radioactive move to Texas?
Well, my group, Beyond Nuclear, and also Nuclear Information and Resource Service. And in Texas, we've got Public Citizen, which, yes, has a D.C. office, but also has a Texas office. And then another really great grassroots group in Texas called the SEED Coalition. That's for Sustainable Economic and Energy Development.
I think it's Sustainable Energy and Economic Development, isn't it?
Yes, you got it. Sorry.
Right. This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith with my guest, Kevin Camps, from the nonprofit group Beyond Nuclear. Well, Kevin, as you know, so-called spent nuclear fuel rods are piling up in cooling ponds at about 100 reactors in the United States with nowhere to go. And these older reactors are starting to put in more rods than some of the facilities were ever designed for. They're overloaded. So doesn't it make sense to get that nuclear waste out of more populated areas and into West Texas?
Well, you are right that the pools at operating nuclear power plants and even at permanently shut down nuclear power plants, many of them are packed to the gills, much more so than ever designed for. In fact, the density of the irradiated nuclear fuel in storage pools is approaching that of an operating reactor core. And they have to take extraordinary measures to prevent inadvertent nuclear criticalities in the pools. So the pools are very dangerous, and we've long called for the removal of the wastes from the pools into outdoor dry cask storage, which are concrete and steel silos that are air-cooled with convection currents. There's no moving parts. But even the dry cask storage in the United States, it has to be improved significantly because they're cutting corners to save money. But the nonsense of the centralized interim storage concept, I'll give you an example. There was a parking lot dump, as I call them, targeted at an Indian reservation in Utah, the Skull Valley Goshutes Reservation. This was a decade ago.
Dump nuclear waste on the Indians. I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
And it was actually approved by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. They had a license to construct and operate the facility. It was going to be the same size as this one at WCS, so they've really modeled this one after the previous one there. And we stopped it. It was a huge coalition of environmental justice groups joining up with the likes of Mormon Republican politicians of the highest level, like Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah, and we stopped the thing despite the licensing. And the absurdity was that if the waste had moved there, the plan was to send it to Yucca. But if Yucca were to be canceled, the plan was to return to sender. And so the classic example is Maine Yankee was a partner in this private fuel storage limited liability corporation. That would have been more than 50 train-sized containers of high-level radioactive waste transported 5,000 miles round trip, returned to sender back to Maine because Yucca's canceled, accomplishing absolutely nothing except for putting hundreds of cities, towns, and villages at the risk of a nuclear waste transportation accident or attack. We call these shipments mobile Chernobyls because when they go wrong, a disaster could unfold in a heavily populated area.
And you never get that community back. I mean, people talk about cleaning up Fukushima. It never gets cleaned up. So do the communities along those rail lines get a say, or are they even warned that high-level nuclear materials are coming along the tracks?
No to both your questions, and it falls to groups like ours to warn people that this is even being considered and to try to activate them to take action before it's too late. And we've had to fight this battle. We call it the Mobile Chernobyl. We've had to fend off the Mobile Chernobyl countless times for the past two decades. And we've succeeded, sometimes by the skin of our teeth, as with Yucca, as with the Skull Valley parking lot dump. But we're going to, you know, redouble efforts, warn people across the country that this is coming their way, and it's only going to be stopped if folks along the transport routes rise up. Because when it comes to this nuclear waste transportation, you know, we all live in West Texas.
Suppose somebody at WCS gets a lot more high-level radioactive waste. Can they really stop terrorists from getting their hands on some of that?
Well, you know, I think the bigger danger from terrorism would be directly attacking it. Because, you know, one scenario is called the dirty bomb. And yeah, they could steal it, take it somewhere, and then it blow it up. Or what they could do is wait for the U.S. Department of Energy and waste control specialists to haul it through places like downtown Chicago and just attack it there. So these are potential dirty bombs and the weapons that could breach these containers and release the contents are unfortunately quite available on the black market. I'm talking TOW anti-tank missiles that are available by the thousands on the international black market. A recent example comes from Syria, surprise, surprise, where ISIS overtook a more moderate rebel force and stole all their weapons away, including 500 anti-tank missiles. Now, you know, it would be a challenge for ISIS to get such weapons over here, but not an impossibility. And like I'm saying, all they'd have to do is set up shop in Chicago, for example, and wait for the federal government to bring them through on the train and attack it in downtown Chicago and impact, you know, a very large number of people.
Suppose there was an accident or some kind of meltdown or terrorist attack at the site in Andrews County. Is there any chance radiation could reach more populated areas like Dallas or even spread over the American South?
Yeah, it would depend on the weather conditions and it would depend on the size of the attack. But when you're concentrating, you know, as WCS wants to do, beginning with 5,000 metric tons, but going all the way up to 40,000 metric tons of high-level radioactive waste in one place, then it would depend on the size of the attack. And, you know, given the radioactivity content of this material, I mean, this would be a massive dirty bomb that you can't even comprehend. And so one of the attack scenarios that we've called for the U.S. federal government to take seriously is actually the use of a nuclear explosive against such a storage site and to defend against that because, you know, a nuclear explosive, granted, it does have radioactive fallout, but the radioactive fallout of a nuclear explosion would be small, very small, compared to the radioactivity content of this stored waste. I'm talking many orders of magnitude. I mean, when you think about it, a nuclear explosive will be some pounds or tens of pounds of uranium or plutonium. But what we're talking about at Waste Control Specialists is up to 40,000 metric tons of high-level radioactive waste. So when you defend against a nuclear explosive, you're defending against every lesser attack, too. And that's why we call for things like hardened on-site storage at the nuclear power plants, where you're defending against these kinds of attacks. And that's the real answer. Groups across the country, 200 environmental groups from all 50 states, have endorsed hardened on-site storage as an interim measure that would, you know, do away with these crazy calls for centralized interim storage.
And Kevin Camps, you've probably heard that a citizens panel set up by the government of South Australia has just slammed the idea of importing nuclear materials from all over the world as a business there.
Yeah, thankfully. I mean, as in the United States, Australia has been targeted for, in Australia's case, an international radioactive waste dump because they only have one or two small research reactors in Australia. So they don't have very much high-level radioactive waste there, relatively speaking. But they keep getting targeted by other countries and even by nuclear proponents within Australia. Australia is the major exporter of uranium in the world. So there's a uranium industry in Australia, and they would like to make money by importing other countries' radioactive waste. So it's very good news. I know the Green Party of Australia, which is a force down there, the original Green Party in the world, actually, the Germans went to Australia to learn how to do things back in the 70s. So they played a big role in this recent victory down there.
Before we go, is there anything else you would like to tell us about?
Well, I'd just like to emphasize the victories we've won on this very issue of mobile Chernobyl and parking lot dumps. We have fended off many versions of this threat in the past. We're going to do it again. They often target Native American reservations. So if we do stop Waste Control Specialists in Texas and a close runner-up proposal 50 miles away in Hobbs, New Mexico. It's called the Eddy and Lee Counties Energy Alliance, very close to the waste isolation pilot plant. They want to be a parking lot dump for commercial high-level radioactive waste. So it would become a nuclear sacrifice zone there on the Texas-New Mexico border. If we do stop these dumps, you can bet that the nuclear industry and its friends at the Department of Energy and Nuclear Regulatory Commission will then try to target Native American reservations yet again, and we'll have to stop that too, of course.
We've been talking with a longtime specialist in high-level nuclear waste management and transportation. He's Kevin Camps from the watchdog group Beyond Nuclear. I'll put links to this story and the groups involved in my weekly show blog at ecoshock.info. Kevin, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.